Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Darkness Radio. This is Holzer's Ghosts. It's kind of an examination of the show that you just watched. If you tuned in and saw the second episode of season two of the Holzer Files on Travel Channel, I'll be here every week directly after the episode airs to discuss this along with a very special guest. We'll also be fielding your questions, so feel free to include your questions and anything else that you'd like to know as the show progresses. I'm relatively new to this immediacy of it, so bear with me. We're going to try to incorporate as many of your questions as we can during the show. But joining me tonight, we have a very special guest. She is the prettiest portion of our show. And also one of the most talented mediums I've ever had the chance to meet. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us welcome the one, the only, Cindy Kaza. Hey, Cindy.
What up, Dave? Whoa, I need more light, right? Like, let's just do this. No, I'm just kidding. How's it going?
Doing good. How about you?
Good, you know, just hanging out, COVID time, COVID style, Dave.
Yeah, this has been a weird year all the way around. But we got a chance to see some of the most fascinating cases from Dr. Holzer's files this year. I mean, if this is just the beginning for us, I can't wait to see what we uncover as each season continues to grow, as more people start feeling comfortable letting us back into their businesses and homes to be able to investigate. But tonight, we visited the Merchant's House Museum in New York. And right. A quick question for you. How frustrating is it for you? I kind of guess there's good and bad to it, to have to go in completely blind to these situations.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's part of the job. It's nerve wracking. I always say the baseline investigation for me is it can be stressful because, I'm walking into a building that has been there for hundreds of years. So imagine there are hundreds of timelines you can be picking up on. There are hundreds of stories you can be picking up on. And so it's like I walk into every baseline being like, oh, I hope I pick up on what we need for this episode because I have no idea what's going to happen. But, you know, throughout the season one and now through season two, I just kind of trust the spirit world and just go with it. But yeah, it's nerve wracking. It can be stressful. Yeah.
Actually, you know, Shane and I love to watch you before the baseline because I think you actually feed off of that anxiety really well, that stress that you start to put yourself under, because we watch episodes like this. I mean, you walk in, you're going through here. Our resources at the beginning of this episode were very limited. You pick up on a name, Ann and Clark. And then as we start digging and Gabe goes through the actual census reports and uncovers one of the workers' names isn't just Ann or Clark, but Ann Clark. I mean, that's got to be defining for you as a medium to be able to hit and connect that specifically to one of the spirits or the energy that's residual in that home.
You know, I love it when that happens, you know, and the spirit world is so intelligent. It's like, I didn't know if I was hearing the name Anne and then Clark was a separate name. So that really was helpful that it was the first and last name, because otherwise I don't know if we would have been able to identify which spirit we were communicating with. And that was like so crucial for solving this case and for understanding what was really going on with the haunting. And, you know, it's again, like not a coincidence that Ethel and I were picking up on the same spirit. And I love this show so much because as a medium, my evidence can be compared to the evidence of mediums from all these years ago. And when you have two mediums getting the same thing in a location, that's not a coincidence, right? So it's just really such a fun show to be a part of. I feel really, really honored to be a part of the show. Yeah.
You know, my daughter, actually, while we were watching this episode, she had a question, and I told her I would fit it in here this evening. She says, does Cindy always feel something? Like, even if she doesn't have the intention to try and feel what's in the house, do things still just come to her?
Yeah, well, you know, with psychic ability and mediumship, I feel things all day, every day, if I choose to be open to that. But I have to be grounded in life. So I feel I'm pretty good at kind of reining it in. But when you think about it, like before, you know, COVID, I was going around touring, doing live events of mediumship. And just to clarify this, those of you who Google me and it says I'm a comedian, I am not a comedian. I'm a medium. I need to get Google to stop calling me a comedian. Although maybe I'm kind of funny sometimes, but I tour doing mediumship in comedy clubs because the venues are amazing. So anyway, so, you know, but what is so amazing is that since COVID has happened, I've been doing these same events, these lab events through Zoom. So what it's showing us and what I've already known, but what it shows people is that the connection to the spirit world is here. Like, I don't have to be in the same room as somebody to read them. So imagine walking around every day, you could open up and feel whatever you're feeling. It could become coming from anywhere, honestly. So walking into a location, it's like, I really have to just trust that the spirit world knows what they're doing and they're going to give me what I need to get through this case, you know, each case.
I give you a lot of credit because, again, what people forget is that this location that we're going to didn't have one story happen and then it's been shut off since then. These buildings have been around in some cases 200 plus years, and you have to go in and peel back those pages quickly to kind of get to the story we're zeroing in on. What is that like?
Again, it's like it can be overwhelming. Excuse me. And what people obviously, I think that they probably understand that we're filming for 5 days or 6 days for each episode. So even when through the baseline, there are a lot of things that don't actually make it into the episode, right? So what I've learned to do is just say whatever is coming to me, whether it applies to a different story or not. I just say everything. And I had to learn that the hard way a couple of times, where things where I was like, I was afraid to say it and I didn't say it. And it wound up being like this crucial piece for the case. I'm like, oh, God damn it. You know, but, you know, it's just what it is. It's really, as a medium, it's about really just having trust and having faith and just surrendering to the experience, honestly.
And it's funny because what you do miss, there's, you know, the baseline investigation is a couple hours long. You guys get a minute and a half or 3 minute window of Cindy doing it. And we really just cut to the meat of it. But there are times she'll start sifting and she'll stop herself because she'll know, oh, this is another story, but this isn't where I'm supposed to go. And she'll just keep honing. And that's, I'm in Shane's ear from base camp. And I'm like, oh, dude, she's getting cold. She's getting close. She's on something. And all of a sudden you start just knocking them dead. And I love watching the expressions on Shane's face as you're hitting it. And he's so excited, but he doesn't want to throw you off by what you're doing. And you just keep clicking along into these connections with the other world. Now, are you, and we'll get to your question in a second here, Mary Ellen, but are you connecting, do you believe, at that point to the actual spirit as though it's disincarnate there? Or are you just picking up on stories, almost like you're watching a closed TV?
You know, all of those things happen, right? So in this last case, in the Merchants Museum, the spirit was there, right? She was there. Annie Clark was there. That's the spirit that I feel is really active in that house. Not the only one, but the one who is like, look, nobody's getting this out right. Nobody's heard my story. Please, somebody, please tell my story, right? But there are other times where I walk through a location and I'm seeing psychic imprints, or I'm seeing memories left behind that are part of the building's history. And so, you know, it's actually, I think through season two, I've started to really kind of know, is this psychic imprinting or is this an active spirit? Like but sometimes it's hard to discern because I see things clairvoyantly. So I see flashes of images, stories playing out in my mind. And then I really have to feel into it. Like, what is this trying to tell me? Am I just seeing a piece of history as it's remembered as a part of the building? Or am I seeing a spirit that's super active in this house, right? So it's just kind of through experience that you start to feel, you can differentiate between what you're seeing, feeling, and hearing as a medium. Yeah.
Mary Ellen.
Your little ghost guy is like part of my head. Look, yeah. Like part of my head. Look, my Dave's skull.
Mary Ellen asks,
Your skull.
Either of you ever get truly scared?
You know, yeah. I mean, look, I've always said, and I stick by this, I'm way more afraid of people in the living than I am of people on the other side. Like, I stand by that statement. But there are definitely times during an investigation where I feel really uncomfortable, where I think to myself, I would rather not be in this room right now. I'm not really liking this too much. But, you know, as part of the job as being the medium on the show, I have to power through that. I can't let that stop me from walking into a location because I have a job to do. So I guess the answer is, yeah, there are times where I get a little uncomfortable and feel afraid, but it doesn't stop me from continuing to move forward in the case.
You know, there are times when we'll go to a location and, you know, I'll have a base camp set up away from everyone. And as I'm watching, I'll start to feel weird because, you know, again, I've got a cameraman who's very reactive and he's great that works with me. And we'll start hearing things in an area because we try to set up in a spot that's not known to be active. And we start getting weird stuff happening while Cindy and Shane are doing the baseline. Sometimes I feel like the spirits are crowding in around me to watch the monitors to see what you guys are doing inside. We get some weird activity. So do I ever get scared? Yeah, there's a few times you get those shock scares. And I know this season that I can remember, there are two definitive shock scares. One plays out, I think, very distinctly on camera. So you'll see that a little later on this season. And in one of the other episodes, I saw something. I can't tell you if it touched me, bumped me, or what, but I definitely left that investigation bruised and battered. And that was a scary moment. That was because something, I saw something from the darkness come out at me extremely fast. And that scared the shit out of me because I just wasn't prepared. And you know, we're hearing things in one area. We're discussing things. And then I turn around and something comes shooting out of the darkness. And my reaction, I think, is very human, very poor Shane in that moment. But yeah, you can't not go in these pitch black places knowing some of these stories and having some freaky things happen around you and not start to feel like it's affecting you. So
yeah.
Thank you for your question, Mary Ellen. And I think I can answer for Shane. Yeah. Sometimes he gets truly scared. Again,
I'm trying to see how I can see questions on this, right? Like how do we, this is new for me too. Maybe if I go to Facebook, can you pull up and
I hit the magic button cause I'm in charge here. So I can pop up questions as we go along. Pam Bird says tonight was insane. I loved it. This case had so many different twists and turns to us, right? I mean, we come to this house, and this was just before the COVID closed down. And we're in New York, right? Staying in Chinatown as the news of COVID is starting to build. And we're just like, what is happening? But we have a job to do, and we go investigate the merchant's house. And the people there, first of all, are amazing, delightful people. And there are a few elements of the story that didn't make it tonight I wanted to cover. We allude to it, but we don't actually call it out. There's a ghost story, a couple of them, where, you know, the people that run the museum are downstairs. They're waiting by the door as you come in to do the tour, and you go walk through and look at everything. And there was a story of this family looking around, and what appeared to be a very well-dressed man, fully formed man like me, walks up and says, "Oh, are you interested in the family?" And then begins to tell them stories about each one of the members of the family and really kind of engages them very politely and gives them this great history lesson. And they're like, "Oh, thank you." And they go back downstairs and they go, "I just want to tell you that your tour guide upstairs was just delightful. He was so informative." And they're like,
the ghost.
Yeah, we don't have a tour guide upstairs. And they're like, "No, there was a man in a suit." And they're like, "Yeah, that's... I'm the only one here today." And that has happened on numerous occasions where different spirits are seen and they engage with visitors because, again, their history wants to be told. They want to be heard. So for us to be in there, we hear footsteps bringing us to one section, the bells ringing. So if you haven't seen the episode, folks, spoiler alerts, we're talking about it tonight. you hear the bells ringing. And it wasn't just one that we could have been like, just one, okay, bing, bing. It was letting us know that the servants of that home were still present with us. Are there still moments for you? I mean, you've been at this for a long time, speaking to the spirit realm. Is it freaky for you when we're in that situation and they are so emphatically acknowledging us?
Well, you know, I don't think that scares me so much because I understand the spirit world. They want to be heard. So I explain it this way. Imagine you died. You went to the other side. You're like, oh man, nobody got my story right. I'm going to find anybody who will listen. And they, you know, they just want their stories to be told. And so that part doesn't freak me out. But there's one good question where somebody wrote, is it tough to keep believing the story from spirit when the history seemed to contradict it? Yeah, that can be frustrating sometimes because I'm like, well, man, maybe I got that totally wrong. Or maybe I'm picking up on a story that was left behind and I'm reading the psychic imprint of the story that was told about it. So, you know, but I always trust that what I'm getting has some significance. So, I mean, it must have been frustrating for Ethel too, because this story was never, you know, solved because it just didn't quite make sense. Like, and so I'm glad that we could go in and that I got the same thing that Ethel did because we're validating each other, you know, which is nice. Yeah.
Right. And here you've got Ethel going in, Hans going in, and this was an important deal. I want to just address the elephant in the room, Cindy. Doing what we do is already speculative. People either believe or don't believe in the paranormal. Some just go along for the ride of the entertainment value. Right. That reporter took this very seriously. His entire right. career. And he took a lot of heat. People still to this day will talk poorly about him and that he was a hack researcher and blah, blah, blah. Tonight was a perfect example. He was not a hack. Dr. Holzer went and spoke to the historians of this house when he visited 50 years ago. The stories that he puts in his book are the stories related to him by people he believed to be credible sources. But you get a chance to see his notes in tonight's episode where he's like, we can't verify anything they're telling us. None of this is coming up in any kind of history. He was keenly aware that stories aren't always what they appear to be, and to be really cautious with what you're willing to believe. But he would present the story as it was told to him. And I think he's got to be extremely pleased knowing that we're going back in his name to reexamine these stories. And here we are 50 years later, validating what he and Ethel picked up on in their visitation. That's got to be, I would hope, really good for him. And knowing that this, you know, we're answering these cases as best as we can with right. the 21st century technology and history that we're able to get to.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. This is fun to see all the did you follow up on Anne Clark? What happened to her? Did she go back to Ireland to continue to work there? I don't know. I don't know. Did you do any more research on Anne Clark? I don't do any research. So
I got to be honest with you. I do the research for the episode, absorb myself. Crazy hair. And then we have to go to another episode and I've got to start reading and preparing for the next episode. And some of the history bits elude me, but it was interesting with her story, right? She was there and then gone and there was no follow-up. We couldn't find any other records of what happened. You know, it was a tumultuous time, but the family we uncovered was a very good family and they were very loving and affectionate and they treated their servants well. But you know, as we could tell in the census, there were many of these servants that were with them for a long time. Anne Clark shows up for a brief instant. Now it's easy to start parlaying this into all kinds of conspiracies of what actually took place. And was there kind of, shenanigans behind the scenes between Curry and Anne Clark? We don't know those bits. All we can go off of is what we know. And, you know, as a servant girl, she was probably dating, maybe even married to somebody and may have gotten impregnated and, you know, dealing with that. Did we lose her in childbirth? Did we lose her to something else? Sometimes those parts of history continue to elude us, but you know, certainly we've got historians out there, researchers always looking. So if you are trying to find those answers and you find anything for us that we might've missed, you can always email me, Dave@darknessradio.com. That's Dave@darknessradio.com. Cindy's having a little connectivity issues, so I'll go back to a couple of the comments and questions, and when Cindy comes back on, I will discuss more with her for that. Thank you. So many great comments. David Martinez, you guys are the best. Thank you very much. And Daryl Jacobs wants to know, what do we have to look forward to? We've got a lot of great stuff coming up this season on the show. A lot of interesting history. Next week, Death to Tyrants. We go to the Surratt Tavern in Maryland, the location that John Wilkes Booth rode to after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And it's a really remarkable story. And this season's activity, paranormal activity, rocked all of us. And next week we get something unique that we hadn't seen before. So I don't know how else to explain it other than that. We try to employ a few different methods. You saw it in tonight's episode where we did this kind of makeshift seance standing at the mirror, where we all kind of held on to the mirror and each other, creating a circle with the mirror. The concept being that a mirror is a portal of light. It has been there for 100+ years and has seen everything that's taken place in that house. And the refraction of light, the memories, the images are all stored theoretically in the mirror. That's what many people believe. So we did that little seance. We got some great results. I'm talking to the mirror and I'm asking for some kind of sign that they're there, and I hear the bang. Again, I thought maybe it was somebody upstairs till I walked around and I saw that door shut. I didn't put two and two together that both doors had shut. And what was so compelling to me about that piece of evidence when you're watching it is the fact that both doors shut from different angles simultaneously. It's not like one shuts and then the other, where it could have caused a vacuum. These two doors shut simultaneously from different angles in full view of our camera, where you can see there's no one there in front of or behind the doors, and these doors go shut. It was off-putting, to say the least, but that's what we're in this for. We love having these moments of experience and high strangeness and just strange supernatural little bits. And speaking of strange supernatural little bits, I've got Cindy Keza back with us. Hey, Cindy.
What's up? Sorry. Now I'm like super bright. So my computer died right as we were talking about Ann Clark. So maybe she's still pissed. Hold on, guys.
Could be. Now we'll come back to Cindy again in just a few seconds. And continue on with more of your questions. So keep up the conversation here. Thank you so much for joining in and being a part of this with us. It's good to see our buddy Peppermint Fatty, James McDaniel in here. He is the host with the most, who you will see over on Travel Channel doing a lot of these live presentations. He did one with our show last week. I'm going to continue this season. Every episode we do of Holzer Files, immediately after, we will do one of these moments so that you'll get a chance to actually be a part of the show with us, ask any questions. Brand new episodes every Thursday on the Travel Channel, so that you never miss another minute in the best of paranormal TV programming. We're going to take just a quick break. We'll come right back. We've got a lot more to discuss on Darkness Radio, Holzer's Ghosts, the after party right here. Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here with you. This is for those of you that follow Darkness Radio, this is a special addendum episode that you're going to get every week when we do this. You'll be able to actually tune in and get this free episode. So if you follow Darkness Radio, it is always there for you. And you're going to get now Tuesday, True Crime Tuesday. Wednesday, you get our Supernatural News Parashare. Thursday, you get our paranormal guest that we'll have on. And Fridays, we will have these special little episodes where I'll be sitting down with other cast members of the show, some other special guests that'll join us, and we'll be taking your questions and spending some time with you. So thank you again very much for being a part of this with us. Again, you can find more information about me and our radio show at darknessradio.com. holesoul.com so you never miss a minute in the best of paranormal talk radio. And for more information and the best way to follow Cindy Kaza on Instagram, you can find her at Cindy Kaza, K-A-Z-A. You can find her on Facebook at Medium Cindy Kaza and on Twitter at Medium Cindy Kaza. So make sure you go follow her and play along with us every night when we live tweet during each one of the episodes. All right. I know we've got more questions, but let's, I want to go back to tonight's episode. Tell me no lies, Cindy. With the amount of activity that we captured, the bells ringing, the footsteps, those doors slamming simultaneously, and then those are Class A EVP, electronic voice phenomena, that we recorded in tonight's episode. What struck you the most for the evidence that we uncovered tonight?
Well, I mean, the doors. I mean, come on. Like, that was probably the best paranormal evidence caught on camera that I think I've ever seen. And what people, I think, should look at is those, first of all, those doors are huge. The way that they closed, they both slammed at exactly the same time. Like, if we even look at physics, like how they would slam exactly in sync, you know, that blew my mind. I'm in disbelief, because we had cameras all around that room. You could see it from all angles. There's nobody doing that. Even if you had a mechanism that could do that, how are they slamming at exactly the same time? Like, that was it blew my mind. It totally blew my mind.
Well, and you guys are on one side of the door, essentially upstairs. I'm on the other side of the door. We would have heard somebody running around. You can't make a step in that house without a creak or a moan. And as you're listening to me talk to that mirror in that scene, those doors just shut. There's no footsteps leading up to it, no footsteps that run away from it. So it was really perplexing. And that's kind of why I was disoriented when I went in that room. First of all, just to remind people, when you're watching the episodes, you get a false sense of security because it's all lit up in bright green.
Right.
White light.
Infrared.
That's right. You can only see that with a camera that looks in IR. You can't see it right with the naked eye. So we're in pitch black rooms. As a matter of fact, you saw the shadow trackers on the floor. We had put them between the mirrors, hoping to see if something moved back and forth between those rooms.
Right.
And it was so dark, our cameraman, Rob, kept tripping over them. So we'd be in there looking around, all of a sudden I'd hear, God damn it. And he'd have to reset because it's so blasted dark throughout that place. And shadows and strange figures. Now, you were picking up on the trap door. This is another element they didn't show on tonight's episode because, again, it played a part in the false narrative of the history, but we actually found a little trapdoor.
Yeah, that was interesting, because when I was in that area of the room, I was like, God, why? I feel like I want to go through the wall. Like, why can't I leave this section of the room? Why can't I leave? And then I kept going back and I kept trying to leave and going back. I was like, what is going on? So then finally I lifted up the carpet and there was literally a trapdoor. And I was, so we looked in there and I was like, well, there's nothing there. I mean, it wasn't a secret passageway by any means, but it was still just bizarre.
You could get to like the pipes to turn them on and off underneath the floorboards. That was about the extent. But the fact that you're like, I'm picking up on a trapdoor and it's underneath a carpet, but now you can hear how that legend of the trapdoor leading out to New York Harbor or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so far away, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not possible.
But you see how these legends grow.
Looking at some of the questions too.
Yeah. Becky McPherson says, glad to see Cindy use different ways to communicate with spirits on the show, with psychometry. And I don't know, what is that word?
I did scrying, psychometry. Okay. Scrying, a little bit of scrying. Yeah. You know, I'm always trying to think about what are some new methods that I can use to communicate. I don't know. Hopefully, I'm hoping we get a season three. So everybody keep watching and telling your friends so we get a season three. but I'm open to doing smoke scrying and all these other, there's so much out there. Yeah. There's a lot out there. Yeah.
Patty asks, are you doing a cleansing after each investigation and clearing the energies? Why don't you answer that first as the medium, and then I'll answer for Shane and I.
Yeah, you know, my big thing that I do every single night, and especially after an investigation, is I take a shower or I take a bath. I literally like rinse myself off and I do like a meditation, right? Because I feel like that's what works for me. I also, you know, have other things that I carry with me that are good for cleansing, different essential oils and things like that. But yeah, I try to be pretty mindful of that. Do I do it perfectly all the time? No. And Dave's laughing. I'm like, where's his mind going? Why are you smirking?
I'm only smirking because I'm thinking of how much LaCroix we drink on site, you know, to refresh and keep ourselves holy and clear with fresh, clean, crisp water. LaCroix.
Yeah. Have you had the limoncello flavor? I think it's my favorite.
Limoncello. Awesome.
Limoncello.
Now Shane and I do something a little different, of course, because we're not mediums. We don't have that same kind of the way Cindy's kind of immersing herself spiritually into those locations. It's, I guess, probably a lot more, I don't want to use the word dangerous, but I guess that fits because you're like a flame to these spirit moths. Shane and I are just two dopes walking around in a dark room.
Well, so, I don't know. I kind of have the opposite opinion because I can feel them, sense them, and hear them. So which is more dangerous, being unaware of what's around you or being aware of what's around you?
You know what's really creepy to me on all of these episodes? You're like doing something else, and you're like, I think Shane's in danger. And then
No, that was a thing that happened a lot this season because, you know, I think like in season one, we were still like learning our team and learning what we could accomplish together. And so as we became more comfortable with each other by season two, like it happened frequently during the investigations where I was like, oh boy, something bad's about to go down near Shane or Dave. You know what I mean? So it's been interesting to see that progression and how we work together as a team.
Yeah, somebody asked earlier, and I'm sorry, the questions are going by quick. If I didn't get to your question, just keep typing it in, and I'll keep my eyes down here to try to get to it. But they asked how we all came together. Cindy's been a medium out in the field for many years, of course, and very highly renowned and respected. I've had Darkness Radio and have been on Ghost Adventures in front of and behind the scenes for years. I did Paranormal Challenge, the miniseries. And Shane has been a tech and paranormal investigator for like a decade. We've all known each other. We've been in each other's orbits, but never had a chance to work together. And when this came together, I think I told the story last week with James McDaniel. You know, when Cindy and I first had a chance to talk, it was much like this. It was just the two of us kind of BSing
right
each other. We realized we share the same birthday, November 22nd.
Isn't that crazy? Dave, it's coming right up. What are you doing for your birthday?
I'd probably locked in my home for COVID. my wife promises to make me a bundt cake with fudge drizzle because that's my favorite. But our birthday is November 22nd. We just kind of connected that way, and then it just kind of grew from there. And Shane fit in so nice and complimented because Cindy's a strong personality. I'm a very strong personality. Shane is, but he is. Passive sounds rude, but he's more the kind of guy.
He's nicer than we are.
Along for the ride and respectfully handles things. So there's a few bits, but Cindy, you had to love tonight's episode when something happens and I'm in the middle of talking and Shane goes, shh.
Oh, he shushed you. Go Shane, go Shane.
People were asking or talking about it in a live deal. They're like, oh, Schrader just got shushed. So there are a few scenes this season I think people will get a kick out of. Shane is not always this passive character, but he also knows his part. He's the tech guy and he's helping us and he's backing us up doing what we do. And then when we pull that pin and let him off into his own investigation, he really shines because again, he's that human element. You know, he's not the medium who's tapping into this. He's not the, you know, investigator who's always kind of walking through it. Shane just kind of puts himself in the situation. Well,
and I'll say this, I think Shane's more psychic than Shane even realizes. So I think Shane's a budding medium.
And I'm definitely a budding 2XL. Nicole Paris asks, can you turn it off, Cindy, or are spirits always trying to communicate with you?
No, yeah. So I can turn it. See, I used to say off, but now I use the term turning it down, way, way down, because I'm always a little bit extra sensitive, right? But yes, thank God. Otherwise, life would be so difficult. I mean, it's hard enough, right? And being an empath, it's hard because it takes a lot of, learning or understanding, or like it actually takes a lot more of knowing who you are and what makes you work as a person to know when it's your stuff or when it's somebody else's stuff. So I think I always tell people that are developing their mediumship the more healing you do on yourself, the better your mediumship will become, because you'll know whether you're projecting your own crap onto something or whether it's coming from the other side. And so it's just been this, you know, lifelong journey of understanding myself more and trusting the spirit world and all of these other things. But I can definitely turn it way down for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a quick mention, folks. Next week on Discovery Channel, you'll be able to see me. I'll be visiting with the one and only and very pretty Josh Gates. Josh Gates is having me on Josh Gates tonight. We'll be talking a little Holzer Files. He has been following our show. He's been a great friend and supporter of mine for years, and loves the Holzer Files. So he wanted to have me on to talk about what he's seen.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, and he's a great guy. So next Wednesday, I believe it is, on Discovery Channel, you'll be able to tune in and see me visit with Josh Gates on the on Josh Gates Tonight program. Let's see. We've got some more questions piling up. I want to make sure I try to get to more of these. We get this often, but let's answer it. Dane wants to know, do things ever follow you?
Oh, Dane Anderson. Wait, is that my friend Dane Anderson? Wait a second.
Well, it's a Dane Anderson. What would be the chances there'd be two Dane
Anderson? That's Dane Anderson from high school. I mean, I know Dane from high. Is that Dane Anderson from high school? I don't know. I'm just going to go with this. Can you write yes or no? Anyway, yeah. So I did say, oh, great. Maybe it's a good, maybe we can show, I can show this picture, right? Remember the picture that I showed before the drawings? Can I tell the story? Okay. So here's the deal. So we did this investigation for season 2 of Holzer Files, and I went home. We all went home. And so I have this friend from Indonesia named Sarah, and Sarah sent me, she sent me a message on WhatsApp, and she said, hey, Cindy, can I call you on WhatsApp? Because I think this woman is following you home from an investigation. And I was like, yeah, well, sure. So she calls me. And she's explaining to me what she's feeling. And she's like, yeah, this woman is following you. And so I'm looking for this picture as I'm telling the story. So Sarah was saying, yeah, she feels like you didn't finish telling her part of the story. And I was like, well, okay. I was like, well, I guess that's totally possible. I wonder who it could be. Where is this picture? And so then her brother, so Sarah's brother draws spirits, right? Sarah's brother draws spirits. So she said, I want you to see this picture of the spirit that my brother drew. And so she sent me the picture, and I almost fell out of my chair, because literally the picture that her brother drew was like identical to the picture of a woman that was, you know, somebody who lived in this house that we had been investigating. And so then I knew, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the woman. So then I put a comparison of the pictures next to each other so you can see. Now, mind you, Sarah, it lives in Jakarta, Indonesia. She does not live in America, and her brother lives there as well. They have no idea where we went. They don't know the locations or anything. So this was you see, the drawing is the one that her brother drew, and the picture, the other one, is the one from the case. Crazy, right? Yeah, totally crazy.
That's nuts. And so she was picking up on the fact that this spirit was still with you.
Yeah. She said that the woman was still with me, and that she had followed me home because she wanted to talk to me about things that didn't come out in the case, or things that I missed in the case. So it was crazy. Yeah, it was totally, totally wild. So Nicole wrote, well, that's wild. Super crazy. Yeah, super crazy. True story, totally happened, freaked me out in a good way, in the best way possible. And I also like tell people, mediums, we need each other, because you know, I get reading sometimes, I get healing from other people. We can't do everything on our own. So that was like a perfect example of my friend like looking out for me, like, hey, there's this energy around you. This woman wants to talk to you, right?
Yeah. And you know, last season, after we wrapped up, we were having a lot of strange experiences at my old house. My wife and I were renting this house till we could find a place we wanted to live. And we were there for, you know, almost 2 years. And just weird things were happening, but they really picked up after we started filming the Holzer Files. And one night, the living room overlooked the dining room and kitchen. So it was up and elevated with a railing and everything. And I went down in the kitchen to go get a bowl to make some popcorn. And my wife was on the couch. And all of a sudden we both heard a man's voice speak out loud, and I stopped and turned, and she pivoted and looked over the back of the couch, and she said, what did you say? I go, that wasn't me. She goes, I just heard that. I said, yeah, I did too. and we had heard things coming from our basement. We would hear voices on occasion. Now, our kids are sleeping downstairs, and then there's a basement below that, and they would hear knocking on the walls or voices. Our youngest, Max, who has a big crush on Cindy, he didn't like sleeping in the bedroom that he had because there was the shadow man in the closet that would lean out, look at him. And then one night he was complaining because he could hear this man under his bed laughing. So we literally moved his bedroom downstairs by his brother's. And I turned that into my radio studio and was doing my radio show from there. And on the last night we were there, the last night, everything else in the house has been removed, everything except for my studio in this little room. And I get off the air and I hang up my headphones and disconnect, and I start hearing something walking around in the house, and I'm alone. And at first I thought, oh, it must be Winnie or the kids. And I'm like, no, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They're in bed and it's school tomorrow. So I grab my phone. I dial 911. I tell the cops, I go, listen, I'm moving out. I don't know if somebody knows that and they're casing the place, but there's definitely somebody in this house. So the cops come. And I've kind of propped myself up against the door, so they're going to have to fight their way in, and I'm being dead silent. I hear the cops pull up. I crank open the window, and I give them the code to the garage. And they're like, okay, stay put. And they take off, and they go in through the house. And I'm waiting, and I'm kind of afraid, you know, if this guy takes a run into the room I'm in, what's going to happen? So I'm in there, ready to fight or cowering in a closet. I can't remember exactly which one, but it was one of those two. And then the cops came and knocked on the door, and they're like, hey, we did a full and thorough search. There's nothing in this house and all your doors and windows are locked. I'm like, okay, well, you know, crazy paranormal guy. I'm just probably hearing stuff. And all of a sudden we start hearing footsteps in the kitchen, and the cops are like, yeah, we got, and they just go quiet. And then they turn and listen, and you could hear the footsteps, and they go, stay here. And the two cops go back out and walk around. There's nothing there. And they're like, I think it's a good idea if we all leave right now. So the cops are like, let's just get the hell out of the house. So they walked me out. We locked up and I left. And they said they were going to do some more drive-bys just to make sure. But they couldn't find anybody in the house, but we could all hear something walking around in the house. So that was crazy. We came over to the new house. Things were okay until earlier this year.
Until season two.
Yeah. Seriously, as soon as season two came, as a matter of fact, one of the things that happened to us that was really strange, my daughters have their room upstairs, and our son Max is on the stairs, and Ripley's up a little bit higher, and Ripley does a cameo appearance on one of our episodes at Franklin Castle on November 19th. So my daughter will be joining us on that episode. But we're talking, and I hear my daughter Pacey say something, and Ripley kind of looked over her shoulder and then looked back down. And then when we got done chatting, I called Pacey because I wanted her to come down and do the dishes. And I go, Pacey. And Ripley looks at me and goes, Pacey's not here, Dad. She's at her friend's. And I said, but you heard her. She goes, yeah, I know. And I didn't want to scare Max. And I'm like, so you're still, so my daughter's got balls of steel because she's just this little waif. She's on the stairs. Max is in front of her. Her back is to the sound when she heard what sounded like her sister speak. And she didn't come running down those stairs. So to her credit, she didn't want to freak out her little brother. And it wasn't terrifying. It was just like Pacey responding to us. So that was kind of unnerving. But then we've had some other weird stuff picking up around here recently. When we got back filming the last episode, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I get ready to go to bed. And all of a sudden I just hear, I thought somebody was breaking in, coming in through our back door. I just heard what sounded like glass, boom, shattering. And I come scooting downstairs, and in the kitchen, there's those Pyrex plates that we cook with. And two of them are just laying there fine. The other one, her father's, who passed away earlier this year, is shattered. Like literally like it exploded because it spread from one end of the house to the other and even around the island that's in the center of our kitchen. I have no idea how the glass spread like that or what caused it. My wife thinks, well, that was my dad's plate. Would he let us know by, but I would think her dad would find a more pleasant way to make himself known than shattering a cookware right. to get our attention. So we're all kind of a little bit right. on.
But you know, guard. they don't always do that, right? Like they want.
Right. Yeah. And maybe that's it. Maybe her dad just.
But sometimes they're loud.
Yeah. Janine says, still learning to deal with being an empath.
Sounds like you need to.
Made a lot of sense. What's the difference between an empath and a medium, Cindy? Can you describe that to the listeners?
Well, sure. So an empath is a sensitive that can feel the emotions of everything around them. So being an empath is more of a psychic ability. So a lot of people don't know there's a difference between being a psychic and being a medium. Psychics pick up on past, present, and future. Mediums talk to people who have passed away. So all mediums have psychic ability. Not all psychics have the same level of mediumistic ability. And what I think a lot of people also don't, you know, understand is that some mediums may be really great at remote viewing while others are not, while others are good at telling the future. I mean, it's not like one size fits all. You know, some psychics are skilled in different ways. But being an empath generally is associated with more psychic, although I believe that obviously you have to be sensitive to be a medium. So most mediums, I think, are definitely empaths as well. Unfortunately, we probably didn't go to high school together. Oh, sorry, Dane. No, I seriously know a guy named Dane Anderson that I went to high school with. I was like, oh, Dane's watching Facebook Live. Yeah. Cindy, Becky, can we see your chat?
Becky, real quickly, did you feel like the spirits in tonight's story wanted to stay and not move on?
I don't think that Anne Clark wanted to stay. I think Anne Clark wanted to, you know, be at peace. Although some spirits didn't like staying, you know, or being close to the place that they felt the most comfortable or that they enjoyed. I mean, there are different reasons that spirits do different things, for sure. My impression was that Anne Clark really just wanted people to understand what happened to her. And in order for her to be more at peace on the other side, it's like she needed that part of her story to come out. Yeah.
Nicole Paris says, hearing a voice in my house would freak me the oop out. Nope, 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 nope. let's see. Mary Ellen comes back in with, does everyone have the ability to be a medium? That's always a touchstone question. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody has the ability to feel the presence of their loved ones on the other side. I like to say everybody can play the piano. Not everybody's going to be a concert pianist, right? But we all have the ability to feel the presence of our loved ones. We're born with psychic ability. I think it's funny that the word psychic has such a stigma attached to it because people walk around all the time saying, oh man, I should have trusted my gut. Like, I'm sure everybody has said that in their lives. But when they say that, what they're really saying is, I should have trusted my psychic ability. The two things are exactly the same. So some people are more comfortable using the word intuitive. It's just the word psychic has this, you know, negative connotation, right? Like, so why is that, right? Where did that come from, you know?
I think it began with somebody by the name of Miss Cleo. Dad, mommy. Yeah. That's where people started getting the bad vibe from psychics. Richard Weber says, does the camera crew know what they're getting into? Do they ever have a hard time staying in the room or building when activity picks up? We've got, our two main camera guys, Rob and Rob, both have worked in the paranormal field for quite a while. And I give them a lot of credit because when we were filming in the episode last season, it was the episode where you were picking up on the demon's name, Cindy.
Right.
I can't remember the house. That's one where we caught the handprint on the glass. That was the Lottie Peck story.
Peck, yeah. That was an intense one.
Yeah, so I give a lot of credit because we're in this creepy old house. Cindy's talking about this demon. We start having water appear on the ceiling. And while we're all standing in the hall trying to just gather our senses, something you guys didn't see in the episode, was this woman started sobbing. You could hear it coming from the attic. And just talking about it again, my.
Yeah, that was scary.
And our camera guys don't break. I mean, they stay sound, camera. They do their job. They're quiet. They're diligent. But it's great because you can see the occasional look, and especially Toth. I love Toth. Rob will be sitting there, and he'll be, you know, he's got the big camera over his eye, and also now see on the other eye. And he can hear something coming up behind him, right? But he doesn't turn. He doesn't pivot. I would have a hard time. I'd be flinging the camera around constantly looking at what the hell's running up behind me. But these guys and gals that work on our show are fantastic, and they stick to their job. They know what they have to do. They have to document us, document what we're experiencing. And I will, I don't know if you do it as often as I do, Cindy, but I talk to the camera guy a lot in scene because I like the validation. I'm not like you. I don't just have this confidence that I experience something. So when I hear a boom or walking or breathing, I turn to the camera guys, and they've been really cool about, they'll talk to me and walk me through it. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's been times when I start to get really unnerved, and Rob, cameraman Rob will talk me down. He's like, all right, stay in the moment, man. Just relax. What's it trying to tell us? And then I get back into the mindset. So they are good at doing what they do, but yeah, they're all stepping in, but there are members of our crew that don't want to be in the house or location if they don't have to be. And they will, you know, stay out. And if they hear we're having weird experiences, they want to be far, far away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's cool to have those kind of people supporting us and backing us and making us look good.
Yeah.
I just got a message from Dennis Stone. Dennis says, hi, Dave. Tonight's show was awesome. I'm telling friends and visitors to watch. Hopefully a big audience like last year. We're anxiously awaiting for the network to schedule the rest of the episodes. Dennis Stone and his family own a very famous place that was important to Hans Holzer. It was Mystery Hill, and it's considered America's Stonehenge.
And oh, yes. That was one of my favorites.
We get to go do this episode. We have a couple of very special guests join us in that episode to be a part of the investigation and help us with the history. So I'm excited for you guys to see that. But what a compelling place. Hans had gone there over a dozen times investigating and was so kind of unnerved by the paranormal. He didn't talk about it with his family, and he never really wrote about it. He wrote more about the history of the location or trying to piece the history together. So this was an interesting egg to crack, to go back in to try to understand why he was so evasive about the paranormal aspect and what he was sharing. But it was a great, great story. That's going to come up, I think, in January.
I'm super excited about that episode. That was a fun case. What a cool location. Yep.
It was. And it was different. I mean, we're outside for most of it.
And nobody told me because they can't tell me where I'm going, and I show up with 6-inch boot heels. Oh well, it worked.
And rain, so walking and sinking in the mud. That was a
crazy. I'm looking at questions.
And especially when you get into a place that's got, a sacrificial table, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no denying what it was used for at one point, and you're there, and you're touching it, and you're present with it.
Dave will sacrifice himself for that episode. He was gonna do it.
Yeah. Let's see. I think I got some more questions. And if you see some, feel free to call them out.
I've been trying to scroll through these.
Michelle Taylor jumps in with a question. Can anyone access the actual Holzer files to use as research? Absolutely not. No, sorry. They are part of the family's private collection. They're very cautious about who gets to touch them, see them, because they are delicate, typewritten, handwritten notes and audio and film. So everybody has to be very careful with the pieces that we get. So you want to know about his research. He's written book after book. I think there's 140 books written by Dr. Right. Hunter. So you could read most of his research because whatever's on those papers is what he puts in the book, except for some of the sidebar messages, which is like, you know, when he'll be like, this is the story, but I don't know. There's something missing. We need to revisit later. Or, you know, he would jot that down. But he didn't get a chance to revisit every case he wanted to because he got so many cases, so many people coming to him wanting insight and help in what they do. Now, this season, Cindy, what I was really excited about is that we employ some different tactics. This next episode, Death to Tyrants, that'll be airing next Thursday.
Which one is that? Is that Surratt House? Yeah, okay.
And we actually do another mini seance with
Don't give this away. Don't give that away.
With amazing results. So we do that. Yeah. You do some spirit drawing this season. where you'll employ the
the
ability to not just do the automatic writing, but allow the spirits to kind of convey what you're seeing on paper. And we've got that looking forward. Now, I'm going to mention it because, again, it'll be the elephant in the room. And I know a lot of people are really freaked out by spirit boards, Ouija boards, talking boards. And this one up over my shoulder, where is it? Right there. That is a crystal gazer board from the 20s and 30s. And I it's never been used. It was new old stock. It was given to me by Bob Murch from the Talking Board Historical Society. And he had given it to me as a gift. And I thought, hey, I'm going to bring this with for this specific case, because the case that takes place at Franklin Castle, we'll have that episode on the 19th. It had one time been like kind of a dorm, and people would do seances in there with Ouija boards. And I had a unique idea of something I'd like to try, so we brought the Ouija board. And I know a lot of people immediately are going to be like, oh, bro. Well, tune in, because I know you're going to hope that I get my ass kicked by the demons because I unleash a Ouija board. But we get some compelling evidence, and it's a great story, a very emotional story. And I personally want to thank you and Shane, and we'll probably do this when that episode comes around. We'll have you guys join me together. But
wait, where's Shane tonight? I thought she was coming on here tonight.
Shane is traveling to sanitarium. He's going to do an investigation with the searchers. And so he was en route and couldn't make it on the show tonight. But that's okay, because we'll rotate in throughout the weeks. So I'll have different members of our show and some other guests that will join us here in our Holzer's Ghosts after party, where we'll talk about the episode, talk about the ghosts,
we should do something like 90 Day Fiance, like where they, but the one where they like sit in the bed and eat popcorn and like rewatch the episodes. What's that called? Watch party? Who watches watch 90 party? Day Fiance? No, it's like 90 Day Fiance, and then they watch it and they're all like eating popcorn and they talk about each scene. Hey, maybe we could do that.
I'd love to. Maybe, you know, we can join up with Chip Coffee. He's got in bed
pajama
with Chip
Coffee.
Yeah,
it's
pajama.
Like, no, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe,
I mean,
maybe
I'm down.
Maybe all three of us can go over and climb into bed with Chip Coffee. And
we love you, Chip. I love Chip Coffee. He's my pal. Love that guy.
Let me see here. Let me see. I know I've got a couple more questions here before we go. Yeah, we'll do more of the watch parties. Folks, so thank you very much for being a part of this. And I know it's late for a lot of you, so getting up over a couple hundred people throughout this live video stream, we'll make this again available through Darkness Radio every Friday. You'll be able to listen to this as a podcast version with me and the guests talking about these. So thank you for being a part of that. And just start tuning in. Now, here's a big thing again. Help us out. Watch the Holzer Files. Tell your friends, neighbors, relatives, coworkers about the Holzer Files. We'd love to come back for a season 3. How does that happen? People like you.
You have to watch our show. Hey, you can even just go over and turn on your friend's TV and just, even if they don't want to watch it, just turn it on, you know? Tell everybody.
I like it. Be aggressive when you go over to other people's houses. Have your TV on at your house. Leave it running.
Then go to somebody else's house and turn theirs on.
Yeah. You know, and COVID be damned. Just walking into neighbors' houses and turning Travel Channel on. Remember when everybody had the same cable boxes? All you'd have to do is have the same cable remote. You could just walk around out in the neighborhood and change your channel.
Man.
So I'm just putting something to consider, folks. You might want to, you know, get people watching it and playing along. Cindy, when you look at what you've done in the past and then taking it to this new level, taking it to the Holzer Files show, what you've done and what we're doing now are two totally different things for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, like before I did Holzer Files, so what people I think don't really know is that the field of mediumship is actually kind of separate from the paranormal field. So you would think we'd all be this, you know, cohesive unit, but it's actually not like that. So, you know, I studied mediumship with a Spiritualist National Union at the Arthur Findlay College. I was doing all these events where I was I do it from my heart and I enjoy it, doing events where I'm bringing through people's loved ones that have passed away, which all my live events revolve around that, and my live Zoom events. So for 7 years, that was my life. It's still a big part of my life. So what people don't know is that, like, before Holzer Files, I wasn't doing paranormal investigations. I think I'd been on one or two investigations and maybe a year prior to Holzer Files. So going to locations is actually relatively new for me. And this sounds silly, but it's actually the truth is before Holzer Files, I didn't know who Hans Holzer was. Like, when I got called for the show, you know, they're like, we're doing Holzer Files, Hans Holzer. I'm like, they're like, do you know who he is? I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I don't, but sounds cool. You know, like, and it's actually really embarrassing because he's so famous. Right. But I didn't have information about all of his cases. I'd never read any of his books, but that's actually better because when I go to these locations, I don't know where I'm going. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I find it interesting that the paranormal fields and the mediumship community are actually just very separate. It baffles me because what we're seeing in Holzer Files, which I think is amazing, is that mediumship and technology validate each other. It's pretty damn cool, right? Yeah. And I really feel I'm so lucky to be a part of a show where I'm working through cases where, you know, Hans Holzer thought mediums were a very important part of an investigation. So I really, like, I'm very lucky I landed in this position for sure. Yeah.
Even having to work with me, you're still feeling lucky?
Every day, Dave, I wake up and I'm like, thank God I'm working with Dave Schrader. I'm so lucky.
Colleen says, I tell all my friends and family about Holzer Files, so thank you very much for that. Danica says, this is my favorite paranormal show. I love to hear that. Paige, on the other hand, says, love you, Cindy.
I love you too, Paige.
You get all the love. I watch all this. People friggin' adore you and your abilities. Okay, and here, let's just get this out of the way right now so I don't have to keep answering this question for you. Where do you get all of your kimonos and amazing outfits?
Oh, did somebody write that in there?
I get quite all like I'm the big fat bald guy who has the worst fashion sense on the show. And they're like, so where exactly does Cindy shop? I don't know.
You know where I shop is so, like, because we film usually when it's freezing cold, I'm wearing jackets, but because of COVID, we started filming again in the spring or actually summer. I'm sorry, in the summer. So I had to buy new stuff to film in at Poshmark. Poshmark, by the way, guys, is really amazing. There's an app called Poshmark and people sell the clothes they don't want anymore, but you can, like, write in whatever brand you want. So I typed in kimonos, size small, different brands, and I ordered kimonos like nonstop off of Poshmark. But also a few of my outfits actually from this season in the summertime are from a company called Trashy Diva, which is amazing. TrashyDiva.com. So Candace Gwynn is this designer. The store is based in New Orleans. Amazing, like 40s and 50s inspired clothing, but she's an amazing designer. So I wear some of her stuff, that more kimono stuff too. I love her clothes. Yeah.
And in case anybody's wondering, I usually am wearing the Walmart brand of shirt and jeans, sometimes Goodwill shoes. I don't know, whatever I can find a deal. I've got 11 kids, Cindy. I don't get to live the Trashy Diva lifestyle you do.
Oh, somebody said my boots. Where did I get? I wear a lot of Steve Madden boots. I'm a huge Steve Madden fan. So a lot of the boots that you'll see in season two are from Steve Madden. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've done this season, and we'll be wrapping up soon, but you've done some guest appearances. You were just on the Osbournes Halloween special.
It was super fun.
What was that like working with Ozzy and Sharon and Jack and his sister?
Oh, well, Jack's my buddy. I've known Jack for years, so he's my pal. It was really fun working with Kelly. Sharon and Ozzy, I didn't work directly with them because they were, you know, being COVID safe. But it was super fun. I mean, I love working with Jack. I've worked with him several times, and Kelly was really great. So that was a super fun thing to be a part of, for sure. Yeah.
You've done a few other things that already aired this season. What shows were they so people can go back and check them out?
Well, I did Portals to Hell. I did a couple of those. Right. And then that special, I think that was it, right?
Halloween special, right. This is Halloween Part 1 and 2.
You were on that too.
Yeah. And then we've got, I know there's another couple of programs brewing that Cindy and I will be making some guest appearances on. I don't know. I can't speak for her on what shows or what shows I'm on, because we're not contractually allowed to mention it, but we will be showing up doing more and more things this year. And hopefully we'll be back after the beginning of the new year as we begin filming a brand new season of Holzer Files season 3.
Yeah. Again, if you watch our show, you better get watching so we can get back to work.
And we've got a lot more stories, but folks, mark my words. The first two episodes were awesome. And I think almost better than every episode in season 1. And you haven't even seen the best yet this season. And I know
season 2 is fun.
I sound like P.T. Barnum, right? Come on and see the amazing woman with a beard. You're going to see amazing things this season. I'm just going to straight out say it. Shit I have never seen happen.
No, same here.
We have so much amazing EVP this season. But again, there are things that are going to happen this season that will blow your mind. So we love all the other paranormal shows. We're friends with them. We support them. We love the Travel Channel. This season is Holzer File season. I guarantee you, when you watch our show this season, you are going to see things you've never seen before. So make sure you keep tuning in and being a part of that. And remember now, after the Holzer Files, you can join us here as we do this live Holzer Ghost session talking about all of the cool episodes we've been a part of. This episode that was on tonight, and then we'll chat a little bit about next week's episode as we did.
Hey, Dave, let's call it the Holzer Hang. It's the Holzer Hang.
The Holzer Hang. I like the beginning of that. Right? Yeah. We'll make that happen. So, Cindy, you're teaching mediumship classes. You're doing live gallery sessions online. How can people sign up? Where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, so I post all of my my courses where I'm teaching mediumship development on my Facebook page, Medium Cindy Kaza. Follow me on Instagram. It's at Cindy Kaza. If you look up Medium Cindy Kaza, that will pull up. I post everything on social media. But the classes and the Zoom mediumship events all go to Facebook. So if you want to sign up for one of those, get to Facebook. And that's pretty much it. My website is mediumcindykaza.com, although there's not much posted there now because I'm not doing any live in-person shows until COVID is over. Yeah.
And it's a weird world, folks. Be patient with one another. Love one another. Continue to support your favorite shows, both podcast forms like Darkness Radio, and keep up with our social media. Cindy does a bunch of great interviews on her social media with different holistic practitioners, metaphysical teachers and practitioners, and some of her friends. So she was kind enough, I will say this, to introduce me to Ricky Rocket, the drummer from Poison.
I love Ricky.
He's going to be recording with us in the next week or two here. So he'll be on in an episode, I think, in December or January on Darkness Radio.
Nice. He's the best.
Supernatural with him. Shane will be back with me on this show here in the future. I know Alexandra Holzer has agreed to come on a couple times. Gabe Roth will pull him out of the dark, dank, musty basement and allow him to see the light of day so that he can be on the show with us. And then I've got some other cool guests that have already agreed to join me this season as we continue to round out the episodes on our Holzer's Hang here with Holzer's Ghosts. Cindy, thank you very much for coming on and doing this first episode with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Bye, guys. Love you. Thanks for watching Holzer Files. Don't forget to tune in next week, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Travel Channel, 10 p.m. Eastern. All right. Bye, Dave. Thank you, buddy.
Couldn't say it better. Thank you all for tuning in and being a part of our world. I hope you enjoyed this extra addendum episode of the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Darkness Radio.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.